Let's send you down to the field and Aaron Edwards.
Joe, thank you so much. Richard, let me ask you the final play. Take me through it.
Don't you open your mouth about the best. Or I'm going to set it for you real quick. L.O.B.
I'm talking to you right now. Oh. In my 24 years of life, I'm better at life.
Yeah. Shout out to Seattle. Hey, yo, who produced this again?
Murphy.
Richard Sherman, Richard Sherman, Richard Sherman.
We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official
review.
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 Official.
Review.
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 What's up, Internet? It is the Upon Official Review Podcast back in action and ready for war. That is us. It is your man, Murdoch, and your boy, myself, Magnum. Say what's up, Murdoch.
What's up, people? How you doing? Glad you're listening. Thanks. I hope you enjoy the show.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for being a part of the show. Again, thanks for downloading, listening, clicking, pressing play, all that good stuff, man. There is lots to talk about. And the number one thing we need to talk about, man, is Nick Foles won the MVP of the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, that's definitely the biggest thing happening.
It's on everybody's mind. It's on everybody's mind. It's talk of.
I'm sorry, he won the offensive MVP.
Yeah, the offensive MVP of the Pro Bowl.
The offensive MVP for the second half of the fourth quarter on the one, you know, on the NFC side
in Hawaii.
Yeah,
in a meaningless game. No, seriously, as everybody knows, what they're talking about is the Super Bowl weather. No, the actual Super Bowl.
Yes.
I keep thinking that, like, the snow is going to play, you know, the wind, but it's actually two teams playing against each other. All they talk about is the weather, it seems like.
Yeah,
this
week. It's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a little overblown.
It's last I heard it was, what, 39?
Yeah, 39, like almost 40, yeah.
And it probably won't be any precipitation, so.
Yeah, and like less than 10 miles an hour like, wind.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be fine. You know what? The one thing I'm actually looking forward to is, you know, if Manning can win, there's nothing less left anyone can say. He'd be Belichick, 2 out of 3 in the AFC Championship, and Brady. He won in the cold. He won in the wind. He's won multiple Super Bowls. Everyone can just shut up and appreciate him for what he is.
Yep.
A phenomenal. I mean, even if you don't like him, you know, I can't imagine how you could put him any worse than the third best of all time. But, you know.
I'm actually really intrigued to watch this game. I think it'll be a fun, exciting game.
I totally agree. I totally agree. You know, you'll hear a lot of people say, well, you know, defense always beats offense in Super Bowls. And, you know, part of that is true, but historically that's been true.
Right, exactly.
However, there haven't been many of the offense-defense Super Bowls since the rules have been changed so much to favor the offense.
Yeah, wasn't the last one 90 when the Bills against the Giants, right? And the last time, like, the number one offense played the number one defense, something like that.
Yeah, but even if you talk about, like,
Top five defense?
Yeah, like, or top two or three or whatever. Like, gotcha. A great offense versus a great defense.
Right.
You know, historically, the defense has always won, but again, I think the rules favor the offense now a lot more than they used to. So
that's definitely true.
That to me evens that out a little bit more.
I agree. Though, when it comes to, you know, who you'd want to see up against these Denver wideouts, insofar as a defense, man, Seattle's the team to play.
Absolutely, and if anyone can score against Seattle, it's definitely Denver. So.
Yep. Exactly.
If anyone can stop Denver, it's definitely Seattle. So,
yep. It makes for a really interesting, hopefully fun matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the two best teams.
It
although
is.
You could say San Francisco also is like right there with Seattle.
Yep.
I mean, that was pretty
really
obvious. On a neutral field, they would have won. So actually, I think they were slightly better, but it doesn't matter because Seattle won and they're the ones in the Super Bowl. So.
I really thought that San Francisco was going to win that game.
Yeah.
Remember when Seattle kicked that field goal and they were only up 6? I was like, man, they should have got 7 because they're going to come down here and win this game. When they were, what, 26 yards away or something like that?
18. They were on the 18-yard line. First down with wow. You know what their biggest mistake was? I guess we can do this really quick. And nobody see the football is such a game of hidden plays that people don't forget about. And it was a play that everyone remembers, but I think the most important one of the most important parts, not one person mentioned with all the talk that's happened since that game. It was they got to the first down. There was about – it was a complete to the 18, San Francisco. There's like 43 seconds left. There's two timeouts. They don't call a timeout. So they're rushing to the line, rushing to the line, rushing. I'm screaming, timeout, timeout, timeout. And, you know, with a first down in the red zone with 44 seconds left or whatever it was, more than 40, I know that.
Right.
I think you call a timeout. You don't rush. You get the perfect play just like you want. I wonder, would he have thrown an interception had they called a timeout and not been rushing? That's what I wonder.
Yeah. Interesting.
Because, you know, on the 18-yard line, there's no reason to ever save a timeout.
Yeah.
Because one timeout's going to save you just as much time as the next timeout.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like you need to get on the first down.
Completing you're going 40 yards down the field, so you have to take the time to run up to the line. The most you'll, you know, have to run up is, what, 15 yards? It takes no time at all.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and that was like a 12 or 14-yard completion as it was. So saving a timeout is completely pointless. You call the timeout right away. It doesn't make any sense logically. And why rush? You know, because you see it so many times. They save their timeouts. They end up not even having to use them. It just doesn't make any sense. So I thought that was a big part of that.
I'm guessing the logic is probably the defense is tired. They're on their heels.
I guess. But on the biggest play of your season, when you want to have a chance to
– Yeah, I mean, I agree. You've got to put a perfect play in, yeah.
The defense is tired either way at the end of the game like that.
Yeah.
You know, they're putting their hearts in the NFC Championship. Everyone's playing their butts off the whole time. So I don't think that matters. I think it just matters. Let's get the right play. Let's make sure of everything, and let's not rush. Now, who knows? Maybe that didn't affect it. But I thought that's at least worth talking about. Nobody mentioned that.
Yeah,
I just remember in real time I was saying they should take this timeout. You know, when there's two timeouts and it's under a minute and you're in bounds, there's no reason to save it for some other mythical, you know, scenario that may or may not ever end up happening. It just doesn't make any sense. Again, the only time it's worth it to even would save you time is if it was like a 50-yard play that you ended up in bounds and it would take you a while to run up to the line. Otherwise, every play that you're in bounds is just as good to call a timeout as every other play.
Maybe there's something – there's like a clause in Harbaugh's contract that says – He gets
paid for every timeout he has.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say he gets free khakis.
Yeah.
Free apparently,
khakis for every
he always wears the same khakis. Yeah, and apparently there was an actual picture of him shopping for them in Walmart. Like, he doesn't even go to like Gap or like.
No, that was like the whole story. Yeah, he gets it for $8 at Walmart.
Dude, that's ridiculous. You're a multi-million dollar coach, man. Buy some comfortable pants. I can't even be comfortable.
I don't know. I've never worn Walmart khakis. So.
Well, that's probably good. That's probably good. Yeah. I don't know how long those would last. So, yeah, man, let's talk about, you know, Peyton Manning. You talked about him just briefly there, but what's, in your opinion, what's his legacy? How does it change if he wins or if he loses this game?
Well, for me personally, it doesn't matter. I still think he's the best ever. What he's done in his career, I just think is coming back from all the neck surgeries. He's just, I think he's, and what he does at the line of scrimmage, no other quarterback does that. You know, his mind is so superior to any other quarterback. You know, he remembers specific plays from drives, from random college games.
Right.
He has a perfect photographic memory. He knows all the defenses that you ran 8 years ago. All the plays, you know, he'll know every play Seattle's run in the past, you know, 7 years. I guarantee ever since whenever their coach started coaching there, he knows every, and I just think, you know, you look at the numbers he's put up, it's ridiculous. And so, for me, win or lose, he's number one, hands down. I don't even think there needs to be a conversation. I understand that other people won't think that. I think if you're asking me, what do I think the general public will feel about him, win or lose? Well, I think win, most people would probably put him number one. But lose, he ends up, you know, top five, top three. But if he only ends up with one Super Bowl, probably most people would put Brady or Montana ahead of him.
Yeah. I was going to say,
for you personally, how do you feel about him?
For me personally, he's already in my top three, win or lose. What I feel like, though, is he's probably going to play until he's 40. What is he, 37 now?
37. Yeah, I think we need to wait till their careers are over, too.
Yeah, exactly.
With him and Brady, you know, if he wins, do I think he's ahead of Brady? Yeah, I do, for sure. Right now, but it's not over. So you kind of got to wait till they both retire to really make the final definitive call.
Precisely. Yeah, I feel like at the end of his career, I don't think it should be a conversation. I feel like, hands down, he'll have all of the records at that point, too. There won't,
right.
There's not that many records left that he doesn't have, but he'll
right.
have
everything. But he'll have the touchdowns and the yards from Favre, yeah.
Exactly.
He'll have the touchdowns next year from, mm-hmm. by, you know, week five or something.
How many does he have left, you know?
I think 18 or something like
wow.
that.
Wow. Here's a question for you. Since he, like, you know, he has this really ridiculous photographic memory, apparently he memorized the playbook, like the entire Colts playbook, like the week after he was drafted or something like that. Like
in three
camp,
days.
Yeah, like camp hadn't even started yet or something
yep.
like that.
The first day he showed up for the first mini camp, which was like 3 days after he was drafted,
that's
he
crazy.
Had the entire playbook memorized. And you know, that's something that it puts him apart from the other quarterbacks. Plus numbers, too. So.
Right. Do you think he does that at home? You know, like, his wife will make dinner and he'll be like, ah, you made this in March of 2006, and it was terrible. Why don't you make that again?
I bet you he would, except she probably smacks him every time he does, so he's learned not to resist that urge. But he's thinking it.
You're probably
you know
there.
He's thinking it.
Yeah, yeah. I also like the fact that he's kind
in
of
the
like,
past 437 days, you made this six times.
Exactly.
You know?
He's trying to get a call to audible at dinner time. Omaha!
Yeah. That's, yeah.
I don't want this.
I want Papa John's.
Papa John's. Yes. Exactly. I was about to say that. I feel like he probably actually does eat Papa John's because he says he drinks Bud Light. Like,
it's true.
He's not a snob at all. He might have millions of dollars, but he's just a regular dude that, you know, loves football and is, you know, a robot.
Just like Tom Brady.
Yeah, exactly. Just like Tom Brady with his Uggs and his supermodel wife.
Yep.
Yeah, seriously. But yeah, man, I'm super excited to watch the game. What do you think? Who do you have winning the game?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm a huge Peyton Manning fan. So in all fairness, I'm going to strongly be rooting for Denver. So I'm picking them. But that might be a biased pick. But I do think they'll win. But again, I am biased. So I will,
what score
you
said?
Know, in all fairness, the score, 27-21.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm back and forth on this. I think the Broncos will win as well, but it is tough. It is tough. I think it'll be – yeah, I can't see them really putting out more than 27 or 28. Yeah, and I don't really see Seattle scoring more than maybe 24.
Yeah.
So like a 27-28-24 type game. Seattle, you know, I do give them props, you know, not to talk all about Denver.
Oh yeah,
I really like the way their team is constituted. It's interesting to me that you know, both Seattle and San Francisco were such mirror images of each other. The only two teams to run the ball more than they pass the ball.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
I kind of like that throwback. First two downs we're gonna pound it, and the third down we're gonna throw it. It was like watching, you know, football in the 90s, you know,
yep.
like the way the Giants, Redskins, yeah, Dallas used to run their offense. Mm-hmm. And then it keeps the defense is, you know, expecting it, but at the same time, their line just punishes, the, you know, the defense so much that every now and then you just know Marshawn's going to break one. And
yeah.
It's you know, and the defense is, I like watching good defenses. I really do.
Right, especially in the playoffs. You
exactly.
know, it's just because it's exciting. Absolutely. I mean, the NFC Championship game was awesome.
Their defense tackles so well, too. They never allow yards after catch. Like, they lead the league in, you know, fewest yards after catch. That's really impressive when they, you know, somebody catches the ball in the open field and the first guy,
yep.
Max.
Yep.
Pete Carroll, apparently, I was reading an article actually about the Seahawks. I think it was in Sports Illustrated. He has a very unconventional way of coaching, but whatever they've done, they've learned to make it work.
Absolutely.
It's also interesting too that he doesn't – a lot of coaches come in and their players adapt to the way they're coached. And they sort of – the players become a mirror image of the coach. And Pete Carroll is very much about making sure everybody remains an individual. You know what I mean?
Right, absolutely. He's like,
let that person be that person, and we'll get the personalities to mesh together somehow. That's unique. A lot of coaches don't want
a lot of people want it to be exactly this way, and that's
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like a Bill Belichick, for instance.
Exactly.
And it goes to show you that, because obviously Belichick's a great coach. He's the devil, but he's a great coach.
He is.
But it goes to show you that there's just so many different ways to get it done. You know, it's not one way, one size fits all. For different groups of men, there's going to be different ways that are best to lead. And I even think within a team of 53, you've got to coach guys differently. You know,
right.
Some guys you need to, you know, you got get on them a little more. Some guys you need to, you know, positively encourage them. And, you know,
exactly.
Just you got to be able to know how to be able to react differently in different situations and be flexible. And I think Carroll's definitely great at that. No question about it. And you look at just him going, you know, succeeding at USC, succeeding in the NFL now. You know, obviously he's got skills that translate in different scenarios.
Right, right.
All credit for sure goes to him.
Also, the other thing, too, is I think Denver's defense is a little bit underrated because their offense is so good. You know, it's hard to stop. You know, say what you will about New England not having a lot of weapons left because so many people got hurt or put in jail.
Yeah, but, I mean, they still got to the AFC Championship
really
game.
Yeah, they did. And Denver's defense played really well in that game.
Yeah. Oh, let's not forget, their defense has played great both playoff games.
Yeah, they have.
Do you know how many points they've allowed in both games combined in the first three quarters of each game?
No.
3 points total. Yep. They have played phenomenal in the two playoff games. They're great against the run, which is Seattle's, obviously, their strong suit. You want to know? I'm going to throw some numbers at you. You want to know why I think Denver's going to win?
Why is that?
Because if you look at what, you know, this number one, well, one not the reason, but a big reason why, you look at what he's been able to do against number one defenses in the past. In 2009, the year that the Saints and Colts played in the Super Bowl, in the AFC Championship, the Colts played the Jets, who were the number one pass defense. The average quarterback against them threw for 150 yards with like 52% complete that year. That was the average for all 16 games.
Wow.
He threw for 380 yards and like 4 touchdowns against them. And that defense was just as good as this defense was against the pass. I mean, maybe slightly not as good, but they were awesome, the Jets back then with Darrell Revis and everybody else. So, and Revis then was better, I think, than Sherman is now. He hasn't come back since the injury, but Revis at the top of his game was the best shutdown corner, I think, since Deion Sanders for that year or two. So it was a very similar defense. They got after the quarterback. They had a great secondary. And so if he can do it to them with, again, the Colts weren't as good as this Broncos team, obviously. I mean, the Broncos set all the records. He can do it to Seattle. So I definitely think betting on Manning is the way to go in this one.
Yeah, they showed me a lot the way they shut down New England's rushing after they, you know, they ran all over the Colts. Not that
all
the Colts had a stellar defense, but they had run for 5 touchdowns in that game?
7 touchdowns. 6 touchdowns.
Gosh, yeah, they gashed them, and they did nothing against Denver. And they, you know, they said, we're going to beat you, and they said, no, you're not. Basically, I think LeGarrette Blount ran for like, he had like 6 carries, like 5 yards after a week after 4 touchdowns.
5 yards, 5 carries for 6 yards.
That's good.
That's getting her done.
And if you can do that, you know, they're going to need to do similar against Marshawn Lynch. They're gonna
right.
have to.
But I think they will. I think they're really good against the run. I think Seattle, you know, especially if they get behind, that's not the kind of offense they are.
No, definitely not.
Their offense hasn't been good for the past couple months. And Russell Wilson is a great young quarterback, but he's not a great quarterback yet.
Yep.
And I think people forget that. I mean, they won a lot of low-scoring games. Their offense, you know, when you win a low-scoring game, the credit doesn't go to the quarterback, in my opinion. The credit should go to the defense.
Yeah.
It's the A.J. Feely disease. He won a bunch of games. You can look it up. The year that McNabb went out, he won a bunch of games 10-7, 13-10.
That was
he was not good. It's not good to score 10 points. That's actually bad. But your defense was amazing then, and you won. And we got a second round pick for him. He was terrible. He's not a good quarterback. If you're allowing 7 points in the game, literally any quarterback can play for you, and you'll win it.
It's true.
So, but now obviously, Wilson's better than that, and they haven't always scored 10-7. But the point is, he's not quite there as far as where everyone's putting him, top five in the league. I don't think there's any way in heck he's top five. He's top like 12. He's a little above average right now. Maybe top 10.
He's got a really good arm. I just don't know how much separation his receivers get, for one thing.
Yeah, and he's great running around in the pocket.
Oh, yeah.
Behind the line of scrimmage. And he does these, the Houdini plays, the one where he threw for 50 yards down the field.
Yeah.
He's great at that. But, again, just let's hold our horses. It's only second year. He was really good this year. He just wasn't elite top five, quarterback just yet. He's not in the Manning,
definitely.
Brady, Breeze, Rodgers category.
It will be interesting to see if Percy Harvin plays and makes an impact, because he's played in, one and a half games this year? But if he has
not
a really good...
He played one half plus, a one or two series.
Wow.
I mean, he's played almost nothing.
He has a great game, then he's worth it. He's worth the big contract you signed him to.
Plus these contracts aren't guaranteed, too. So, the problem, he wasn't worth that first-round pick. They could have, I think if they picked Cordarrelle Patterson.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because they would have had, he was available on the board with where they would have picked. That was clearly a bad trade. But, hey, they're not complaining. They're in the Super Bowl, so.
Yep.
And like you said, if he has a great game, then they're not gonna feel bad about that at all. So
I'm interested to see. I haven't looked at him yet. The prop bets, the Super Bowl. Are there any good ones that you've heard of? Thinking about the different things that have made the NFL popular, gambling is definitely
as number one. Are you kidding?
You think gambling's number one?
Yeah, I think gambling's number one, and fantasy football.
Fantasy is
too.
Right there too.
But gambling, they've been putting the injury report out since, the 50s or 60s. And that's, 100% about the gambling.
Right.
It's huge, the amount of gambling. Will No. Sean Moreno cry during the national anthem?
Well, that's a good
eyes
one.
Leak like a watery fountain?
That is a good
Who
one.
Will be seen first on TV after kickoff? Aaron Andrews, Pam Oliver. Will it snow during the game? How many... The over-under for how many times we'll say Omaha, 27.5.
I would definitely go over that. I'm definitely.
How many times will beast mode be said during the game? 2 is the over-under. I would take the over there.
I'll take the over there as well.
Will Richard Sherman receive a taunting penalty in the game? I say no.
You got to figure he's toning it down.
Yeah.
Got to figure that. Right?
What will Bruno Mars be wearing on his head at the start of the halftime? Fedora, fur hat. No hat, and I don't know what the other word is. T-U-Q-U-E? Toque? What the hell is that? I really don't give a crap what he's wearing on his head, believe it or not. Will any members of the Red Hot Chili Peppers be shirtless?
Oh, yeah. They're always shirtless. So, yeah, man, those are some good prop bets. There's always, what color Gatorade is it going to be for the, winning coach?
For the winning coach.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. Apparently, did you also see that there's Skittles actually made a Seattle branded candy?
Oh, really?
It's a limited edition. Yeah, I don't know if they're gonna be able to. But I figured they would tie it.
Will the announcers say the word marijuana during the game?
Oh, that is interesting. I guess because it's brought up
the smokable.
Because it's the what?
The smokable, dude. It's Denver and Seattle.
Oh, yeah,
two,
both places it's legal.
Where it's legal, yeah.
That's true. Yeah, and I heard about it this week that they were talking about making medicinal legal for
the NFL.
For the
quite,
players.
Yeah,
that, yeah
if it's good for, concussions or whatever.
Yeah.
If you can get a doctor to tell you that that helps concussions, then I say that guy deserves a medal.
I agree.
Whatever doctor comes out with that one. I don't see that at all, but hey, whatever works.
Yeah, the guys are in the NFL are doing it anyway, so. So, yeah, man, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll do What's Making Murdoch Mad, and then we'll also talk birds and, you know, discuss what changes they may make in the offseason, what changes they definitely need to make. You know, we'll get mad at Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie for playing good with Denver and terrible with us and do some other stuff. You guys stick around. This is the Upon Official Review podcast.
Last word in Philly sports.
That is us. Don't touch that internet dial.
They're going down. I'm yelling, Denver Seahawks will lose. I'm gonna dance. It'll be a night that we'll remember. Peyton's the one who'll get this win. Peyton's the man making the calls. He's got to be confused just before the ball. Every single Omaha, Denver. Touchdown, Broncos up, Denver. Prove the rich.
Welcome back, gang. It is the Upon Official Review podcast. And as we come from break, we give you guys your favorite segment, my favorite segment, your mom's favorite segment. It is time for What's Making Murdoch Mad. Murdoch. Give it to him.
All right. This week, the phrase, it's Richard Sherman being Richard Sherman. And it doesn't have to be Richard Sherman. Anybody. It's, you know, Deion Sanders
when,
being Deion Sanders.
AR being that guy, yeah.
I was listening to Around the Horn, and one of the four guys, the day after Sherman flipped out about Crabtree and all that.
Sorry.
One of the...
Mediocre.
Yeah, yeah. One of the columnists on there said, well, it's just Richard Sherman being Richard Sherman. You know, if he, you know, if this wasn't the way he normally acts, I'd have a bigger problem with it. Okay, so let's break that statement down. So, if someone does something, and let's face it, that was kind of a dick move. I mean, you know, dogging the other guy. It's, you know, you already won the game. It was, you know, it was definitely not good sportsmanship. It was not a nice thing to do. He was being a jerk. You know, if your child did something like that, you'd say, hey, man, that's not right. You know, you try to say, you know, this isn't, you know, the way we're supposed to act. It was bad behavior. At the very least, you could say that about it, right?
Right.
I think that's being, you know, is fair to say. So if you normally behave badly, it's okay. Somehow, if you do it often, then it's okay. It's just you being you. As long, you can be a jerk as long as you're normally a jerk. I don't get that. So somehow it's better to be consistently a jerk than just occasionally a jerk. That's actually better. I don't get that. The whole, it's him being him. You know, that is not an excuse for doing something wrong at all. That's absurd. Just because you're normally a jerk doesn't mean it's okay to be a jerk. And again, I'm not saying this directed at Richard Sherman. I'm saying this for any time anyone uses the phrase, oh, that's just me being me, to excuse bad behavior. It's absurd. Where have we gotten to where it's just okay to be a jerk as long as you're normally a jerk? I don't get that. You know, if it's wrong, it's wrong. And it doesn't matter if you normally do things that are bad. It doesn't make it any better. It makes it worse, in fact. You know, if only occasionally you do something wrong, that should be better than doing it frequently. I mean, am I crazy here? I don't understand how me being me turned into something where we can just get away with anything now. Well, I mean, you know, where does it stop? Oh, this guy, you know, Aaron Hernandez killed three guys. Well, that's just... Aaron Hernandez being Aaron Hernandez. So what's the problem? That's who he is. He kills people. He does it all the time. He's done it more than once. So what's the problem there? It doesn't get you out of jail free. It's not some just saying that you can say to wipe out whatever you just did. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Either it's
okay to do it or it's not. It's not just because you've done it before. It doesn't make it okay. You know, I think sometimes in this society we're, you know, tolerance and tolerance is a good thing. Don't get me wrong, but we get a little crazy with it. We don't have to tolerate bad behavior. You know, I'm not saying we should hate him or be racist towards him or anything like that. Obviously, you know, the way some people, I guess, on Twitter were real racist from what I heard. You know, that's not cool, but...
Yeah, again, calling the guy a thug is out of line. Come on.
He's not a thug.
He went to Stanford.
Right, he's not a thug. But you know, it's just... The point is, what he did was not cool, I don't think. I don't see how people just, oh, that's just Richard Sherman being Richard Sherman. I don't think that is just a good way to excuse it. I don't. I don't think it was good behavior at all. I think it was wrong what he did. And he apologized, and that's cool, and I'm over it. But I just hate the phrase, it's Richard Sherman being Richard Sherman, or it's this guy being this guy,
right,
or whatever. That's absurd to me. It's not an excuse at all for anything. And I think we need to get that out of the vernacular. So,
I got it. That was very Keith Olbermann-y, dude. You got your little soapbox out.
I can't stand that. It's stupid. I mean, saying that it's okay to behave badly as long as you do it frequently.
As long as it's consistent.
That's better than doing it occasionally. I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, you're right.
And
you're
it's
right.
Ridiculous. Enough of that. Enough
I guess the rationale is we know what to expect, so it's kind of our fault for asking. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you knew what you were getting into. Maybe that's like, you know what I'm saying?
I guess. But what he did, it was not right.
You definitely can't excuse it. No, that's
no,
it was.
It wasn't.
Right. It wasn't classy. It was not classy.
It was totally classless.
Yeah, it really wasn't. I mean, and you know, it was in the heat of the moment, and
right.
Apparently, they didn't like
that. That's another excuse that doesn't fly because he had four other interviews 20 minutes later, and he said the same damn thing.
That's true.
He just wasn't screaming it. So that's what he thought. That's what he wanted to say, and had nothing to do with the heat of the moment. The decibel level had everything to do with the heat of the moment,
yes,
but the message didn't because that was what he wanted to say.
Look,
thought about it for 30 minutes,
dude.
Yeah.
She looked so
scared. I mean,
like,
you know,
why are you yelling
scared
at my face?
Poor girl like that. That's
he did.
Absurd.
You probably spit all over her too.
Yeah, I mean,
probably sweat
ridiculous.
And saliva everywhere, dude. Nah, yeah, it was not cool.
It was not cool.
Definitely.
Again,
not.
I'm not going to sit here and say it was the worst thing ever or anything like that. In the end, grand scheme, not that big a deal. But you know, the fact that he does that frequently does not make it any more excusable. It wasn't cool, and that's all I got to say about it.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of the Richard Sherman being Richard Sherman as if that excuses everything. Because it doesn't.
I like that.
Because otherwise, like you said, Aaron Hernandez could say the same thing. Where do you draw the line? You know, and it either excuses it or it doesn't. And it doesn't at all, in my opinion.
That's true. So, there's got to be probably a half a dozen players right now that you can say, somebody can say, it's just that guy being that guy. You know, insert name here.
It's tired. They're overusing that now. Yeah. I don't remember who the first guy that said that about himself. Now they're just going crazy with it. Every time someone does something that's not cool,
Des
just,
Bryant, T.O.
T.O. being T.O. You know, it's not right, you know, so.
Definitely not.
If it's bad behavior, just because you're consistently bad does not make it any better.
Yep.
It makes it worse, if anything, so.
Anyway. Let's switch gears.
Let's
talk birds, man.
All right.
10-6 season on the NFC East.
Yep. What a pleasant surprise.
It was. It was a really pleasant surprise. You know,
fun. It was fun watching the Eagles
really
again. Now, when's the last time you could say that?
Yeah,
it was
that's true.
Torture and painful.
It hasn't been fun for some time.
Since the run in 2009.
Yeah.
But since the Super Bowl, other than that little half season there. Well, the year with Garcia where we went to the second round also, that was fun.
Yeah. But definitely, especially not the last two seasons. The 8-8 and the 4-12 season were torture. It was so arduous. Those two seasons. Like, I, you know, you would come home on Sunday afternoon after church or whatever, or after eating lunch, and you'd be like, ugh, I could watch this, or I could do something productive. And you would watch it, but then sometimes you'd be like, oh, I kind of could have done something else.
Yeah, I would have rather had a root canal.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was bad. But yeah, this year was good.
It was fun.
I can't help but notice, I watch these championship games, especially the NFC championship. I mean, we're in the NFC. What do the Eagles need to get to that level? Because, you know, I could have made a case. Okay, the Eagles definitely could have beat the Saints. They definitely could have beat. They could have beat Carolina, I think. I didn't think Carolina was quite ready for prime time, and they kind of showed that against San Francisco. Not to say they won't be there soon. I'm not saying that at all, but I just didn't think they were quite there yet. But could we have beat San Francisco? No, I do not believe for a second we could have beat them. Didn't matter where it was. I think they would have punched us in the mouth mercilessly over and over again until we were beaten to a bloody pulp. Seattle, I actually think we might have been able to hang with Seattle.
But, I agree.
San Francisco, no.
No.
So what do we need to get to that level?
All right, well, how about this? You tell me the top three positions you think they need to fill, even if it's a sideline position, you know.
Okay.
And I'll tell you my top three.
Okay. Well, I think
we'll probably agree on at least one of these, if not two.
Two of them are, I think, I would be shocked if they're not on both our lists. I think we need an outside linebacking.
Yes.
Edge rushing, pass rusher, and a safety. Number three, I actually, I would like to get a number one wide receiver.
Oh man, we agreed on all three.
Reason why I say that is because DeSean Jackson is sort of like a number one wide receiver, but against good defenses, he gets shut down way too easy.
Yeah, it's true.
You can't count on him on big games against a good defense.
He's just not physical.
No, and it's not necessarily his fault.
Exactly.
But boy, if he was our number two, imagine how awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm not – it's not a dig on him. We just need a bigger guy. Now, that's conditional because if – I kind of think Ertz might sort of be that guy going forward. You never – rookie tight ends, their numbers are terrible, and his numbers are comparable with all the great ones.
That's true.
10 years. And he's a big boy, 6'5". If he can step up and be one of those types of guys, one of those Hernandez, Gronkowski,
Gronk, and 2.0, yeah,
one of those types, then I think it's much less necessary to get a wide receiver, and I might say cornerback or you know, somebody on the defensive line or whatever. But boy, we need another big weapon for the red zone. Not necessarily even big, but a guy that can get the dirty work and be that consistent. Because if you look at the number one wide receivers, Dez Bryant, Megatron,
AJ Green,
Andre Johnson, these types of players, they are getting catches all the time. You know, even against good defenses, they're still going to get their first down catches. They're still going to make plays. You're not holding him to two catches and 14 yards. And that happens to DeSean too much. And again, I think that's more because of his height than anything. So I don't blame him for that at all. I just think that is what it is. When your number one wide receiver is 5'9", it's not necessarily ideal. So,
yeah, what you run into is there's a lot of corners, or there's more corners that have speed than there are corners that have height and speed. You know, Seattle's got a 6'2 and a 6'3 corner, but that's rare. But a lot of corners can keep up with DeSean speed-wise. But if you get a guy who's got solid speed, but, you know, is bigger than your average corner, those guys can be real weapons. There's a number of guys that'll be available when the Eagles draft. I don't know if they'll pick one in the first round. What do you think? Here's a question to ask you, because I've actually agreed with you on all three. I think they need an outside linebacker, a safety, and a wideout. In Chip Kelly's mind, where do you think he'll go in which order? Or do you think maybe they may go free agency with one?
Yeah,
or the other?
I think in the draft, they'll pick the best player available, even if it's not any of those three positions. I think they got burned drafting for need too many times with Andy Reid reaching for Jaquan Jarrett and all those terrible picks, you know. But so yeah, I think they'll draft best available, whoever they have rated highest, and that's worked two drafts in a row, so I wouldn't steer away from that. You know, obviously if you have two guys rated equally and one of them happens to be a position you need, that's fine. But if it's only if it's literally they're equal, you know. But I mean, I do think he's gonna between, you know, free agencies first, so you'll know what you have by the time the draft comes around. So I think by the end of the draft, we'll be, you know, it's still going to take a year or two to get there. It may, if everything goes right on the draft and free agency this year, maybe we can get there this year. But it's more likely, you know, going to be 2015 regular season where we're really ready for prime time. That'll be 3 years for the quarterback, 3 years under these schemes and everything else. You know, obviously, the number one thing we need beyond even all that is we need Foles to continue to mature and grow.
Yes.
That's the main thing. But, you know, he's going to be so much more confident and comfortable with this offense and the fact that it's his team. I think he will grow, and I think you will see. I mean, you're not going to see 30 TDs and 2 interceptions, obviously. He's going to have more interceptions than that. Yeah. But he could, you know, work on the things that he needs to improve, not holding on the ball so long, things like that. And just get – I just think confidence goes such a long way. Look at Tom Brady, won those Super Bowls early. He was Alex Smith back then. He threw for 180 yards and didn't turn it over. That's how he won those.
That's true.
And then he turns into Peyton Manning eventually, you know, almost, with 50 touchdowns and things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, confidence breeds success, and getting that confidence – and the comfort also helps. And I think, you know, I totally trust their plan. But one thing I wonder about the wide receivers is, who do you bring back? Because you've got Riley Cooper, you've got Macklin, both free agents. No?
Nope.
Sorry about that. The stupid.
I'm hearing the little scratchy again.
The timer paused Skype. I don't understand that.
That's weird.
Anyway, can we just start back?
You can just restart what you're saying about the receivers. Yeah.
So between Macklin, would you like to bring them both back? One of them back, Macklin and Cooper. What would you do?
I think Cooper. Somebody may throw a bunch of money at him, or you can probably get Macklin discount ish. You know, for the caliber like one player year he is. Exactly. Yeah. I think Cooper.
So you would take Macklin and let Cooper go?
I would like to actually have Cooper, you know, as a third or fourth option, just because he seems like he has a rapport with Foles. If it's up to me, I keep them both.
Yeah, I actually would keep Cooper before Macklin.
Really?
And because you know Foles and him have that connection. I think that's really important. Also, he's good in the red zone. And here's the thing about ACL injuries. Sometimes that player's not the same the next year.
That's
so
true.
We can give him a one-year deal, and really,
that's into two-year
the next year is when he's finally going to be back. So if I had to choose one or the other, I'd pick Cooper because I know he works with Foles. I don't know how Macklin works with Foles. I like Macklin. If I knew, you know, again, I don't know anything about his rehab. If they can see that he's rehabbing really well, all these things, I wouldn't mind all three back. Now, is one of them going to be suited to the slot? That's the other thing I wonder. If not, then you have to pick one or the other because it's a different skill inside as outside. Cooper was fine on the outside. If Cooper can play inside, I'd be totally fine with that. Macklin, if he can play inside, Jackson, one of those three needs to be able to play in the slot or else you're going to be sitting him on the bench. It doesn't make sense to pay him both to only have one on the field at once.
If Deshaun hit the weight room, you could put him in the slot.
Yeah. But I think Macklin could play the slot.
He probably could.
I think Cooper could, too. So if we can have all three, man, I mean, that would be really good, I feel like. You know, if we had had Macklin this year, imagine. I mean, we're in the number two offense as it was.
Yep.
I feel very good about the future of the Eagles. Now, here's the one problem with this next year is we have a brutal schedule. And sometimes teams are not as good as you think and other teams are better. So maybe our schedule won't be as hard as it seems like. But if it is as hard and the Eagles end up going 8-8 or 9-7, but Foles kind of takes a step forward, that might be a better year than this year because just you're going to have to play a brutal, brutal schedule. So I think people need to definitely be patient. And if we end up winning 9 games next year, that might not necessarily be a terrible thing just because you know, it's going to be tough to win games on that schedule next year. So, you know, this is, like I said, not necessarily next year. I'd like to if we can win 10 games next year, that'd be a huge step forward, I think. But I think it's that year after is really the year I would pencil in as the one where we can really start being one of the top three or four teams. And that's what you need. You need to be one of the top three or four teams, and that gives you a chance. And, from there, you got to, you know, get hot at the end.
You know what? I'll ask you this during Crossfire. Now that I think about it, I've got a good question for you, but we'll save it for Crossfire. Right. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back.
Yep.
We'll do the legal procedure. We will do Crossfire. And we'll get some shout-outs.
Sounds good.
You guys stick around. This is the Upon Official Review Podcast.
Last word in Philly sports.
That is right. We are the last word in Philly sports. Don't go anywhere.
Tavarius Smith, T-King for short. I'm a bad mamma jamma and an awful sport.
Smoochie Wallace, you can call me Ty Royal. Wrapping up rushes like aluminum foil.
The Kringle Berry, I'm very scary. If I got the ball, you best be wary.
Le Carpetron, Duke Marion. I love the ball so much I want to marry it.
Cause the Eastern School's gonna beat the fools from the West.
Oh, yeah.
Where football's concerned, we're gonna show you that we are the best.
We are the best.
Hey, yo, Internet, welcome back to the Upon Official Review Podcast, the best podcast in the entire galaxy. It's just, there's no doubt about it.
Duh.
So, again, thanks for being part of the show. My name is Ari, a.k.a. Magnum, next to Murdoch, also known as Al. You can find us on Twitter, at Official Review. You can find us on Facebook, / Official Review, uponofficialreview.com. And now, because I know you guys are waiting for it, it's time for the illegal procedure, which is when I tell you guys who I feel like has offended me and messed up.
And who needs a flag?
Exactly. Exactly. I throw a flag at them hard. They got to get it. I got to let them know who's messing up and why. So here we go. It's time for legal procedure.
Well, they called us for illegal procedure.
Illegal procedure can be broken down.
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
I've been so wrong.
So this podcast for the illegal procedure, who I am heartily and lustily throwing my flag at, is the entire American Football Conference. Yep. You got it. The whole entire AFC.
The whole AFC?
The whole AFC. Exactly. You know, outside of the Broncos, really. They get a reprieve. But everybody else has gave us a really, really lackluster playoff performance, pretty much.
They failed us.
They did. They gave us really boring playoff games for the most part. I will say that it was entertaining watching the Chiefs collapse like a Jenga game that was missing pieces. Like,
that was a fun game.
That was fun, watching them completely melt down.
You know what wasn't fun?
What's
watching
that?
The Bengals play the Chargers or the Colts play the Patriots. No, those games were awful.
Those games were terrible.
Horrible.
They were so bad. And, like, the other thing too was, like, the Bengals had that game at home. They were playing a 9-7 Chargers team that barely got in, and they hadn't lost any games at home all year.
Yep.
They
got crushed. They weren't even remotely in that game.
Yeah, it was terrible. And then the Colts put up
every single NFC playoff game was awesome.
Yeah. The Colts go into New England and just put up that horrible performance. They get steamrolled.
Goose egg.
Ugh.
It's like they had as bad a second half as they had a first half, but they had that bad a first half every game all year. That's a fraud team. It's not a fraud, but that team, Andrew Luck, dragged them way up.
He sure did.
So if they can get some talent around him, you know, look out. But boy, they don't have a lot around him right now.
They let a
bad New England team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A team that was a shell of a real playoff team get all the way to the AFC Championship.
Six rushing touchdowns? Come on. Yeah,
that was a joke.
Joke?
Very disappointed by the AFC.
That was a travesty is what it was.
It was. It was absolutely.
Good call, though, sir, because the AFC playoffs sucked.
They did.
What was the best game out of that? I mean, yeah, I guess the first round Indy Kansas game, but and part of that was just bad defense too. So yes, it wasn't like an epic game like Niners Seahawks by any stretch.
Horrible clock management and bad defense.
Yeah. Yep. Anytime you call your last timeout immediately after the 2 minute warning before a play is run, you know you've done something wrong. Even for Andy Reid.
Yep. Yep. Vintage Andy Reid.
All right, well let's I agree, sir. That's a good call. But why don't we go with some crossfire?
Oh, it's time for some crossfire?
I think so.
I love me some crossfire. Let's get into it.
It's the ultimate challenge. Crossfire.
Crossfire. You get caught up in the crossfire. 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 Crossfire.
You'll get caught up in it.
All right, sir. Crossfire. This is how we do it. Six questions back to back to back to back to back.
Rapid fire. Lay it on me.
So the first question is for you. This was recently discussed over the past week or two.
Mm-hmm.
Adding an extra team to the playoffs. You know, Jerry Jones rule. I don't know what you want to call it. But adding extra team to the playoffs. I guess seven, right? Seven make the field. And then only one team gets a bye. I do like that. What do you think?
So what you'd have is you'd have six wild card games, three in each conference, and those three winners would move on to the second round, and in addition to the one team with a bye, and it would be normal from then on out. I love it. I'm against any league that has 50% or more of the teams in the playoffs.
Right.
But 14 out of 32, that's not too bad. It's pushing it. That I would like a little less, having 14 as opposed to 12, but it would be worth it to me to get the extra playoff games. We get to watch, you know, six wild card games would be great. But mostly, I think a bye for the number two seed is too big of a reward for being the two seed. I love only the one seed getting the bye. It's the very best team in the conference. Sometimes the second best team in the conference is in the same division as the one seed, and so the two seed is really only the third best team. You get that sometimes. I think the difference between the two and the three seed is very slim. Why should one not only get home field but also get a week off? I don't like that at all. I would much prefer only getting the one. I think it's a really great thing to go for. And I don't think anyone except for the one seed should get the bye. So I like it. I would like to see it again, but I would never, ever go to 16 out of 32 because I think less than half should be in the playoffs kind of by definition. You should have to be above average to make the playoffs. But
right,
since 14 out of 32 is indeed above average, I can live with it. And I think the two and the three, why is there such a big difference between those two? I don't think there is. So I would like to see it, yeah. How about you? What do you think?
I agree. I like the fact that only the one seed gets the bye.
Yeah, you got to win the conference to get the bye. It's too big of a carrot for the second place team.
It's true. It's definitely true.
Yeah. Good. All right, number two. Do you think now that we've had some time to get some data on the move, do you think it was a good idea that the Flyers fired the coach? Do you like the direction they're going in now?
I don't. Here's the thing. I do think this team would be a little better record-wise had they kept Lavi, just because law of averages, you know, they would have still.
Yeah, they weren't going to keep losing.
Exactly. They weren't going to still be terrible. They would still be decent. I think they'd probably be a little better, have a little more continuity, obviously, with the coach. Mm-hmm. With his history with the team and so on and so forth. But the bottom line is, you know, I think you'd agree with me here, this team's not going anywhere regardless. It needs some changes from the top down.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I agree. I agree. The general manager's more at fault, clearly. You know who they could use? James Van Riemsdyk.
Yes.
Know who else they could use? Mike Richards.
Mike Richards.
Those two guys Really. And Van Riems, like, they gave away for nothing. Yeah. Luke Shen is just an average defenseman. And Riems, like, I just didn't get it at the time. I just thought he was hurt. He was great when he was healthy, and then he had an injury-prone year. And it's like, we have to get rid of this guy right away. He's the number 2 overall pick. Ridiculous. He was only, like, 21 or 22. Terrible, 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 terrible trade.
Couple more terribles.
Cannot say the word terrible enough. So, yeah, I just think definitely fire the GM, keep the coach, if anything. But so.
Sounds about right to me. Sounds about right to me. All right, sir, number 3. I have a very deep, insightful, thoughtful question. I've pondered this for hours before I wrote it down. I think it can really speak to your depth of sports knowledge. This might really tap into your thought processes.
Okay.
Here it is. Why isn't Ruben Amaro Jr. working at Burger King right now?
That's a great question. That is a great question. What I believe this is true. This is what I heard. I can't prove it, but like I said, I have this from a very reputable source. He tried to get them, instead of selling burgers, to sell fish tacos. And instead of French fries, to sell dirt.
Oh, Burger King's fish taco king.
Didn't really go for it. Fish tacos and dirt. You know, they're like, why would we do that? That's a really stupid idea. So the Phillies immediately gave him, you know, a raise to a tenth of, you know, 10 times the previous salary because they thought it was the greatest idea they ever heard. And they would trade burgers for dirt any day of the week.
Of course.
So yeah, that's why I believe, because Burger King, you know, he's not smart enough to work for Burger King. He's underqualified for the job.
I think he may be holding out for McDonald's.
Yeah, probably is.
You know what? He may be waiting for an offer.
Yeah.
That would be the only reason.
A little overqualified to flip burgers at Burger King. A little underqualified. I just don't think he's quite there yet mentally. You know, you got to really think that through, when to flip it exactly. You know, you can't flip it too soon. But then again, you know, you can't wait too long either.
Those beeps are hard.
Just flip it just right, you know?
Yeah.
And the fries, you know, you have to wait until the buzzer goes off to pull the fries out of the oil.
Oh, don't even get started on the milkshakes.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to fill up the entire cup, not too full.
You can't have it spilling over the side. You can't fill it half full. Think that's easy? Think just anyone can do that? Oh, no. Oh, no.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good stuff. All right, sir, what you got for me?
Do you think the Sixers are losing enough games?
They currently, we just mentioned this, they have the third worst record, correct?
Third worst in the NBA, that's correct.
Yeah, I would like for that to be worse.
Yes,
so,
first worst.
In my opinion,
third worst.
No. Yeah, I wouldn't
totally
say that
agree.
Quite enough, but I have faith that they're going to trade one of those pieces. Turner,
right, probably.
Exactly. Either Turner.
Well, he's playing well. I wouldn't mind if they kept him either, you know.
They'll probably trade Turner or Spencer Hawes. They may trade Thaddeus Young if they can get a big enough piece.
I'd rather them keep him, though.
Yeah, he's their best. No, he's their best asset.
And he doesn't mind coming off the bench.
Exactly.
I would totally, totally rather trade Evan Turner.
Yes.
But if someone's willing to give you a first round pick for Thaddeus Young,
yeah,
which I don't think they would, but
probably not.
Maybe, you never know. Some desperate team that thinks they're just one piece away.
Yep.
But yeah, I think they'll trade one of these guys. Obviously, one of the 4 or 5 good players they have, in order to lose more games. Because yeah, if you have the worst record, you're guaranteed at worst the 4th draft pick.
Right.
There's been some talk. Will Jabari Parker stay in school for another year? So if he does, that means the top 4 are all incredibly valuable, much higher than anybody else. So you'd want one of those top 4 at worst. So definitely need to lose some more games.
Yeah, definitely.
We're in agreement on that.
Yep. All right, sir. Question number 5, second to last question. Sideline reporters. We are seeing more and more and more of them, if not, you know, not –
There's a lot.
They're on all the, now there's two per game.
Yeah, one on each sideline.
Yeah.
They can't cover the whole square themselves.
What's your thought about sideline reporters? Is there a point to them at all? Do you get anything from them, or is it just...
I don't. In some sports, I guess it's better than others. Like, you definitely love them whenever the San Antonio Spurs are involved.
Yes.
Because you love Popovich's murderous thoughts. He's thinking, of the most, the best cost-effective way that he could murder them on camera and not get caught. And, the staring daggers from Popovich and super sarcastic answers are just gold. That I love. True. I can never get enough of. The NFL, we know it's cold already. The announcers told us what the weather was. We don't need you standing there with your hair blowing or whatever. Then again, I love Aaron Andrews, as, I think everyone does. But, I have no use for the sideline reporter. I'm sorry. I just don't.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, last one. Is it a good idea to have a cold weather Super Bowl?
It's probably good for the league, just because, they get more exposure in other markets and, whatever. Maybe the town makes more money. I'm sure they make a ton of money for all of the hotels and such.
Oh, yeah,
they book.
Absolutely. Lots for the local economy.
Exactly. But I don't like it, personally. If I am going to go see the Super Bowl, I want it to be in a fun, warm town.
A vacation spot.
Exactly.
Some place where you would go if there was no Super Bowl for vacation.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not even talking about like a dome either. Forget about Detroit. I would never go to Detroit.
That's terrible.
To hang out.
It's got it. Should be Miami, San Diego.
Yeah, San Diego, New Orleans.
And Vegas. Those should be the four cities.
I totally agree.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is, let's have a true test where you don't have 18 fumbles in the game or anything like that. A true
precisely.
Football.
Precisely. Precisely.
Right. May the best team win.
Right. I don't need weather being a factor. I would like to see both teams, at their peaks.
Totally agree. It's not terrible, but I would say it's not a great idea.
Yeah,
and I don't think they'll do it in the future. I think they had to get that for some of the public funding for the stadium. They made the deal. Okay, well, if you the public funds the stadium, the Giants and Jets stadium, then we'll give you a Super Bowl. So it's sort of like a deal like that. But don't even get me started on public funding stadium for billionaires. Like, they can't build their own buildings.
Jeez, seriously.
So they need to get tax breaks and interest-free loans and all this garbage. That is garbage. When I'm king of the world, that will be completely illegal. They will not be able to get a nickel from the public for billionaires. Like, they need our money? Are you effing kidding me? Ugh.
Agreed. All right, sir. I'm going to wrap it up.
Let's
shoot
do it.
A couple shout-outs and call it a night. And we will be back post-Super Bowl to talk everything else that's going on.
Shout out to everybody in the hood. Shout out to everybody smoking that good. Shout out to everybody in the club. Everybody getting live from the geeks to the thugs.
So real quick, let me shout out my friends over at Broad Street Beat. You can follow them at Twitter at Broad STBAT. Also follow my boy Steve from Philly. Great follow on Twitter. Steve from Philly. Totally spelled the same way. Also, recent follower DJ Kristen Rose, KRISTIN. She's DJ, does a bunch of other stuff, as the name says. Definitely follow her. And also, longtime homeboy Phocion. It's Phocion on Twitter. Definitely check them out. Great to follow, and of course, recommend us if you're already following us at Official Review. We will definitely be tweeting the Super Bowl and all the kinds of other good stuff. Also, not before too long, sir, it'll be March Madness time, man. We'll have to do something for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Olympics too is a nice breaks up the February dead zone a little bit.
Really, only watched hockey in the Winter Olympics though.
I mean, Summer Olympics better. I'll check out definitely the hockey, a little skiing here and there and stuff like that, too.
You watch it. I watch it here and there.
Better than nothing. I
that's
mean,
definitely
that's
true.
That's what you get as the alternative in February. So.
That's definitely true. I kind of watch Winter Olympics for the follies. There's lots of people falling down.
Yeah.
No, they are. Enjoying. We'll like
if you make the mistake of turning curling on, you will not be able to turn the channel. It sucks you in. It's like a superpower. It's magical powers.
Curling,
it's
though?
Kind of witchcraft. I'm telling you.
I don't get it.
Yeah, but you turn it. It's not fun. It's not good. But it just like sucks your energy away.
What's happening?
Can't your thumb to turn the channel.
I don't know
what's
happening.
It's kind of like shuffleboard. It's very. It's a weird deal. But
every time
I think
I know what's happening, I'm like, oh, they're supposed to hit that, and then it's like, no, you weren't. Supposed to, I don't. It's weird.
And especially when you hear like certain different teams and they're yelling at the rock in other languages and it sounds ridiculous.
I did see that Norway. I think it's Norway. They have a uniform that looks like pajamas. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Dude, your uniform looks so ridiculous. It's like a sleepy foot, or a footy pajama, dude. They look
it's
amazing.
It's a ridiculous sport. So
it really is. It
makes sense. Is that the Norwegian women or men?
I think it's the men's curling team. Maybe it's both. Did you know that? Another sidebar before we sign off. There's exactly two Mexican Winter Olympians. Two.
Really?
Yes. And one of them is a skier who's like literally like this caricature. He's like a millionaire playboy who like is never in Mexico. He's always like skiing in the Alps. And like, yeah, it's totally weirdo character, dude.
What's the other Olympian from Mexico, do you know?
Yeah, what the other guy does, but yeah, there's two. I thought that's really funny that there's two.
Yeah. Olympians. Yeah. Random thing, yeah.
All right, guys.
Well, good show, sir. Hey, thanks everyone for listening to us.
Absolutely.
And we'll check you out again soon.
You guys on the flip side, take it easy. Peace.